speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We stand now ready for your word. Father, we pray that you would use your servant to preach through. Hide me behind the cross. Allow people to see you. And we pray, God, that your seed, the great seed of your word, would find good soil in our hearts and minds and germinate and produce great fruit, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those of you who are old enough can remember doing something that children and grandchildren today have virtually never experienced in life. They will not know the joy that we knew when we participated in these activities. Playing outside. Yeah, it's almost a foreign concept now for children and young children in particular to think about playing outside. We are so concerned about allergies and mosquito bites and sunburn and the like. I think our parents would have been accused of child abuse just simply by putting us out the house and making us go outside and play. And I mean, we had some games. I'm going to call out some games because I was thinking about this as I was getting ready for this sermon today. And I was like, man, I wonder how many people remember playing these games. So when I call out your game, I need you to say, yeah. Red light, green light.
Yeah.
Tag.
Yeah.
Jump rope, double dutch.
Yeah.
Hopscotch.
Yeah.
Hide, go seek. Freeze tag,
yeah.
Duck, duck, goose,
yeah.
Jacks,
yeah.
Got in the pool occasionally, Marco Polo,
yeah.
Red Rover, Red Rover,
yeah.
Simon Says.
Yeah.
Now, one of the games that we played, and it was interesting because it didn't go long, and I'll tell you in just a moment why it didn't play out more than maybe one or two sessions, was Follow the Leader. Y'all remember Follow the Leader? So one person, typically it was the loudest talking person, would be the leader, and everybody had to line up behind the leader and do what the leader did. And as people failed to do what the leader did, they lost, and whoever was the last person following the leader, they would become the leader. Now, it was amazing because people didn't want to be the follower long. I don't know if it was just the presence of our ego, even as young children, but man, folk wanted to jump up and be the leader even when they didn't make it through the whole game. And that following the leader, for some people, became a kind of metaphor for life. Not that we wanted to follow the leader, but that we wanted to be the leader. But here's what's interesting. When you look at the scriptures, we are called first and foremost not to lead, but to be led. We are called to follow the leadership of Jesus. Now, here's what's interesting. There are an overwhelming number of people in the church who come to church every week, but don't think anything about following Jesus. They don't follow his precepts. They don't follow his principles. They don't follow his practices. All they want to do is come to the church, watch this, to be blessed by God, but not to be obedient to God. Today, I want to continue our series entitled Intentional Discipleship. And I want to talk today from the thought, how to follow the way Jesus commands. How to follow the way Jesus commands. Each one of us is called to be a follower of Jesus. What does that look like? How should it manifest itself? Our foundational text today is Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, you can go to our website and you can download a fill-in-the-blank outline electronically, and you can have that for your records. Here is Jesus now. He is on the Sea of Galilee. He is about to launch his earthly ministry in regards to identifying those in whom he would pour his life for the coming 3 years. These are people that he would put his ministry into their hands. These are they that he would depend upon when he was gone in the power of the Holy Spirit to help people who needed him to know him and to help people who knew him to grow in him. The Bible says he's at the Sea of Galilee. That body of water in Jerusalem goes by many names depending on geographically where you approach that water from. It was also known as the Lake of Gennesaret. It was also known by some as the Sea of Capernaum. Here he is at the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is teaching us something about being intentional. And here's what I need to remind you of. And for those of you who may not know, I need to share with you. Nobody in life amounts to anything or stays at a place of excellence unless they are committed to being intentional. And to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to intentionally know Jesus as your Savior. You've got to intentionally commit to growing in Jesus as your Lord. And you have to intentionally help other people to know and grow in him. Three things I want you to see today around this idea of following the way Jesus commands. Here's the first thing. Number one. You must intentionally decide to obey the Lord and follow him. You must intentionally decide to obey the Lord and follow him. Verse 18, Matthew chapter 4, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus begins with this command to follow him. Now, there are those who would say in reading the Synoptic Gospels that this passage in Matthew chapter 4 is linked to the passage in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, they had been fishing all night, had caught nothing, and Jesus walks up. Watch this. A crowd is gathering around. He asks if he can use their boat as a floating pulpit. Jesus teaches them and then tells them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. Peter, you remember the story, says, we've been fishing all night long. We haven't caught anything. But nevertheless, at your word, almost in a humorous kind of tone, because at that point, he is not a discipler of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus. He has just heard the message that Jesus has preached. And the Bible says he cast his net after fishing all night long and catching nothing, and their nets begin to break. And they take in so many fish that they have to call in their partner who has another boat, his brothers. They have to call them to come and take all these fish in. And it's on the other side of that miracle that Jesus says, come and follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. The word follow there is in the imperative form, and it's a command by Jesus. He says, come and follow me. This is not optional if you're going to be a Christ follower. He says, no, I need you to come and follow me. I need you to make a commitment to follow me. Now, I want you to notice something. Who did Jesus call to follow him? Not one of the 12 was a priest or the son of a priest. They were not spiritually inclined men, as would be defined in that day and time. They were not people who were Pharisees or had relationship with the Pharisees, even though Jesus would call some Pharisees later on. The Bible says that he starts with the common man. He starts with working men. He starts with people who are engaged in common activity. And he says, I want you to come and follow me. One of the things that this call, this command of Jesus should remind us of is that God uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary people. And I want you to see where he calls them from. He calls them after they have been fishing. One of the things that we need to understand, and you'll see it throughout the scripture, the Lord does not call people to follow him who are doing nothing. Jesus has this idea that, watch this, serving me should be your priority, even if it's not your personal profession. He says, I expect you to follow me, to make me your priority. When Christ calls, the person is working, not waiting. The person is serving, not sitting, because God can't do anything with lazy people. Now, somebody may ask the question, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because there are some of you, listen carefully, who have used the excuse that I'm too busy to be a disciple. I'm too busy to make a disciple. Well, then you're too busy to follow Jesus. Mic check. One, two. Is that okay? I'm just making sure y'all heard me. You're too busy to be a follower of Jesus. You're too busy to be a real Christian. Because God calls real Christians who are doing something to move from where they're doing, what they're doing, or just what they're doing, to make serving him their priority. I love when people say to me, well, Pastor, when you get time, I don't ever have time. Man, I go to bed every night with at least 10 things I need to get done. I have to make time for what is important. And Jesus says, if I'm important to you, then you need to make time. But here's what he says. Don't use where you are or what you're doing as an excuse to not be used by me. He said, because I'll use you from wherever you have come, and I'll use you wherever you are, and I will use you despite who you have been. So even if you can't see being used by God in you, I want you to know the Lord sees you with the potential to be used by him. Look at Amos chapter 7, verse 14 through 15. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. Here's the second thing I want you to see. If you're going to follow the way Jesus commands, number two, you must intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. We're talking about intentional discipleship. You have to be intentional about allowing the Lord to change you. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 4, the B part. And he said to them, follow me, here it is, and I will make you fishers of men. I want you to underline, circle that phrase, make you. Make you. The word make there is in the passive voice, future tense, which means it's not who they were when he found them, but it would be who they would become once they yielded themselves to him. He says, I will make you into something that you are currently not. Now, that idea of making has with it the sense of producing, manufacturing something, reshaping, reforming something into something else. But it also has this idea of creating or bringing something into existence. And Jesus says, I want to make you into something. Now, here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Will you let the Lord make you into something? Or are you determined to be who you already are and then ask the Lord to just accept you for who you are? See, most of us, even if we don't like who we are, we don't want to make the change to become who we're not. Many of us who are who we are will look back over our lives, watch this, and blame people for who we are based on what they've done, but they've long since stopped doing what they have done, but we're still determined to hold on to who we are. Jesus says, I will make you. I will make you. Specifically, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Now, here's what's amazing about this. Listen carefully. Jesus takes familiar words to give them a word picture, but he gives those familiar words an unfamiliar meaning. It's like if they were lawyers. And Jesus says, I'm going to make you a prosecutor of the devil, right? Or I'm going to make you, if you were a defense attorney, I'm going to make you a defender of the weak. He's like, let me give you this image, tie it to some language you are familiar with so that you can understand how what you have been can be adjusted to fulfill my purpose for your life. See, here's what I've learned. Sometimes the Lord calls you in something. Sometimes the Lord calls you from something. But all the time, the Lord calls you to become something. Let me say it again because some of y'all missed it. Sometimes the Lord calls you in something. In other words, whatever it is that you're doing, just like these men were fishing, God calls you in something. And that call might interrupt your plans for your life. Sometimes God will call you from something. In other words, God says, this is what you've been doing, but I've got a new assignment for you. So I need you to leave where you are and go to where I want you to go. But all the time, God calls you to something. Now, I'm saying that because there's somebody who's listening right now, who is watching. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. You're sitting there saying to yourself, well, does that mean I need to stop doing what I'm doing? Does that mean I've been called to full-time ministry? Does that mean that God just wants me to change my focus and give him the priority in my life where I am, keep doing what I'm doing, but change why I'm doing it and change my perspective around it? And the answer to all of those questions is a resounding yes. See, you got to be led by God. And there's somebody that God is saying, hey, put down your nets and leave. And all I'm doing today, watch this, is not challenging you. I'm just affirming what you've been afraid to accept that God has already been telling you. I know I'm right about it. There's somebody who's watching right now. You already know what God has told you to do. And you have been hesitant. You have been asking God for proof. You've been like Gideon. You put the fleece out. You've been asking God for a sign. And now God has finally told the preacher to tell you out loud. No more excuses. But then there's somebody else that God is not necessarily saying to move. God is just saying change where you are because I want to use you where you are. But God says, I have something for your life. And see, part of the reason that many of you struggle, part of the reason many of you are hesitant when we talk about intentional discipleship and discipleship being required and God calling you to not only be a disciple, but to make disciples, part of the reason some of y'all are struggling with this is because you've never heard this before. Because when you came to church, all they talked about was health, wealth, and prosperity. When you came to church, all you heard the preacher talk about was you are the head, not the tail. You are the up, not the down. You are the beginning, not the end. And God's going to bless you and God's going to give to you. And that's all you've come to church doing. And you have never been taught, you have never been challenged to follow Jesus. We have followed church tradition where we have good church and we experience churchtainment. But we have not been challenged to be the church that God has called us to be. Look at Matthew 18, verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember, every time the word church appears in the New Testament, it never refers to a building. It always refers to people. Because you, as a follower of Jesus, are the church. You are to be salt. You are to be light. Now, I know somebody just said, well, wait a minute, Pastor, you keep on saying that. When are you going to stop saying it? When you start living it. When you start living it. When you start making a commitment to be the salt and light that God has called you to be. Here's the third and final thing, and then I'm going to take my seat. Number three, you must intentionally choose to live on mission for Jesus. You must intentionally choose to live on mission for Jesus. Watch this, verse 20, Matthew chapter 4. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Everybody say immediately. The people called by Christ were called to another work. And this different kind of employment, this different kind of work, what would amount to a different profession, one that had never been seen before, because they were going in a direction that nobody had gone before, and that's being a direct disciple of Jesus Christ. And the text says they moved immediately. They moved intentionally and said, basically, Lord, what is your mission is going to be our mission. He said, I'm going to challenge you now. You're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to care for people, help and minister to them. And they said immediately, they demonstrated, not by what they said, but by what they did. It was unequivocal. It was a positive response to a command given by Jesus. Now, they had a choice. They could have responded, or they could have just sat there. But they chose to follow Jesus. Listen to me carefully. Every one of us has a choice. Every one of us has a decision whether or not we are going to make a conscientious decision to intentionally follow the Lord or not. You got to make a decision. And it's amazing because I consult with churches around the country. And one of the major, major statements that are made by consultants across the country and church scholars and the like, they talk about the church in this present day drifting off mission. That churches are not on mission. That we are majoring in minors. That we're making the minor thing the main thing. We're making the minor thing the only thing. And we are neglecting what the Lord has called us to do. Here's what I've discovered, though. No church can be on mission if the people are off mission. So if you and I are off mission, guess what? The church can't be on mission. If the pulpit is off mission, guess what? The people have to be off mission. And the Lord says, I need you to live on mission. Now, I said earlier, it doesn't mean you leave your profession. It just means you change your priority. It's not what you do alone. It's why you do what you do. What's the purpose behind what you do? And that purpose becomes the final object of ambition and endeavor. He says, you've got to hear God and you've got to respond to that call. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Here I am. I can't speak for you. All I can do is talk for myself. God, here I am. Whoever I am, broken, battered, bruised, messed up, sometimes been tore up from the floor up, but Lord, here I am. Even if I can't see how you can use me, Lord, I'm willing to follow you and be used by you. You must intentionally let Jesus lead you. You must intentionally let Jesus change you. You must intentionally let Jesus change the focus of what you do. You must intentionally let his mission become your mission. You must intentionally make a decision to follow Jesus. We used to sing that song some time ago. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Come on, somebody knows that song. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, but the cross before me. The world behind me, but the cross before me. The world may be behind me, but the cross is before me. No turning back. No turning back. And somebody today, God is challenging you. Somebody today, you are watching, and God is challenging you to make a decision to follow Jesus. Now, there are arguably some of the great sins in life. One is killing your own dream. Let me see if I can help somebody. Killing your own dream. Here's what I mean. Some of y'all don't need the devil to kill anything because you kill it before you even get started. Man, I have a passion. I have a desire. I would really love to do this. Oh, you need to stop. You know you can't do that. You talking to you. You ain't even shared it with nobody else. Now, you already know there's people in your life you can't share anything with because they're not doing anything. So giving them an opportunity to comment on what God has told you is futile because God didn't tell them. But what a tragedy when you kill your own dream. But what's an even greater tragedy is when you kill God's dream for your life. Can you imagine? The Lord says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they said, fishers of men? We can't even catch fish all night. Now you want us to be a fishers of men? Andrew, what you think about that? Man, I don't know. We've been out here. James, John. Y'all hear him talking about, man, be a fisher of men. Man, all I've known all my life is fishing for fish. I don't know nothing about fishing no men. Can you imagine if they had the mindset to kill what the Lord's vision was for them? See, here's what I want you to leave here today understanding. One, whatever the Lord wants you to do, he will prepare you if you are willing. I told you that I will make you is in the passive voice. He's saying, hey, man, you've got to yield yourself to be used by me. Even if you can't see it, can you trust what God says even when you can't see what he's saying with your eyes? And can you say to God, God, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to let you use me in the way that you see fit? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I pray now that we would leave here in life and in our life with you, committed to being intentionally used by you. The truth of the matter is, the things of this world fight us tooth and nail to keep us from following you. We will follow people. We will follow ourselves. We will follow our ideologies. We are competing with a bunch of things to draw our attention instead of making a commitment to follow you. Help us, God, to make that commitment. Bring about that shift, that change in us, to recognize that when we follow you and yield ourselves to you, that you can make us into what you have designed, called, and destined us to be. Help us to walk in that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.